This is Pastor Thomas from Holiday Community Fellowship Church. As we continue with our study of the book of Revelation, in particular the introductory part of that, I would like to begin with prayer. Father God, we come to you with hopeful hearts, with hearts that anticipate what you would have for us as your people, as you reveal your truth further unto us. May we not just know what the revelation says, but may we come to understand better what it means about the revelation of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father God, that you have preserved your word for us and that you have a willingness to continue to share it for us to us even today. We ask, Lord, your blessing upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue in the book of Revelation, we began with the introduction. We talked about the background of the book of Revelation, and we got into the character of the book of Revelation. And the character, we talked about the prophetic character of the book. We talked about the Christ-centered character of the book. We talked about the open book itself, how it's open or unveiled to us. We talked about the symbolic nature of the book. We talked the basis, how it's based upon the Old Testament, and how it is numerical in nature. Today, we're going to begin with the universal character of the book of Revelation. In that, we focus on the whole world, given the word universal. John in Revelation has been given these words, and he sees nations, he sees people, he sees masses of humanity. If you look in the 10th chapter of Revelation, which is a good chapter to look at when you're thinking about the universal church, but look at the 10th chapter. Let me turn there, if you will. 10th chapter. And 10th chapter, and if you would, look at the 11th verse. 10th chapter, the 11th verse, gives us these words. And they said to me, you must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. We can also look at the universal nature of Revelation in chapter 11. If you turn over to chapter 11 and look at verse 9. Verse 9 reads as such. Those from the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days and will not permit their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. Again, we see the universal nature of the book of Revelation. And if you turn to the 17th chapter and look at the 15th verse, you'll see again the universal nature of the book of Revelation. The 15th verse, the 17th chapter. And he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So we can see that John was given a revelation of the universal character of the book of Revelation. And it included nations, peoples, and masses of humanity. This book actually describes God's judgment of the world and his creation of a new world for his people. The other characteristic of the book of Revelation is that it is majestic. In other words, this is a book about the king and his rule, not just any king, but King Jesus and his rule. In the book of Revelation, you will find the word throne used 44 times. You will also find the word king or kingdom or rule used 37 times. You will see the word power and authority used 40 times. we see here that Christ is the sovereign of the universe, ruling from his heavenly throne. The other characteristic of the book of Revelation is it is sympathetic. We see the sufferings of God's people and the compassion of heaven for the people of God on the earth. John is in exile. Turn with me, if you will, to the first chapter of John or Revelation. And John gives us these words in the ninth verse. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. We also see that Antipas was martyred in the second chapter of Revelation, verse 13. If you would, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name and not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. So you can see that it is a sympathetic. It tells about the nature of God's care for his people, or at least his acknowledgement of them. Also, if you look at the second chapter of Revelation, you'll see where Smyrna, the church, is facing imprisonment. Second chapter, the 10th verse, gives us these words. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Interesting, isn't it? It also talks about the souls that are under the altar of God who cry out for an avenging judgment. And that's in the 6th chapter. And we're going to look at verses 9 and 10. When the Lamb broke the 5th seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who have been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Quite a characteristic of God, isn't it, that we find in the book of Revelation. The next characteristic of God I'd like to share with you is the book of Revelation is climactic. Revelation is the climax of the Bible, and it shows the fulfillment of the plan and purpose of God for the world. That finishes the characteristics of the book of Revelation. And now I want to look at the four broad interpretations that have been suggested about the book of Revelation. And I want to begin with what they call the preterist interpretation. This basically states that everything in the book took place in the first century. Now, John deals with war between the church and Rome. That's most certainly clear in Revelation. He wrote to comfort and encourage the saints in their persecution. Again, that is most certainly clear in the book of Revelation. Also, John states 7 times that he is writing, however, he's writing a prophecy. So even though he knows about these persecutions and stuff that's taken place, he still is writing a book of prophecy. So we have to kind of think along these lines. The book has a special value, there's no doubt. And it is to those who are enduring Roman persecution. And we know that if you read the book of Revelation. But its value did not end there. So we must keep that in mind, the value of the book of Revelation did not end at the first century. We also look at one of the four broad interpretations is it's historical. This approach sees the church history fulfilled in the symbols of Revelation. So the entire church history, when Jesus left at Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came on to his people, the church basically began there. And so there is a historical perspective, and that approach sees church history fulfilled by the symbols of Revelation. It outlines the course of history for the first century to the end of the age, however. It's paralleling historical events to those in Revelation. Of what value, though, however, would Revelation be to the believers in John's day if all it did was foretell world history? And of what value would it be for us today if that's all it did? The other interpretation, the third interpretation, is it's spiritual. Revelation is seen as a symbolic presentation of the conflict between Christ and Satan. In other words, between good and evil. It rejects the idea that John is writing about actual events. They claim he is dealing only with basic spiritual principles. But if John tells us he is writing prophecy, then he is telling us something that is going to happen. There are many basic spiritual principles contained in the book of Revelation. There's little doubt about that. But it also deals with the real events that will one day occur. Many of those events, as we know in this time in which we live, has already occurred, but there are still many events to take place yet. Not very many, but a few. The last interpretation, or broad interpretation, of the book of Revelation is that it is a futurist perspective. This approach basically emphasizes that Revelation is entirely prophecy. It has nothing to do with the first century, has nothing to do with history, has nothing to do with the symbols, and it has nothing to do with the church, and it's just all, it's all a prophecy. Chapters 4 through 22 describes a scenario of events that will transpire on earth and in heaven after the church is raptured. So you can't really say that it's entirely a book of prophecy because many of those events have already taken place. If Revelation is not prophecy, then God has not given the church one book in the New Testament to explain the future of the world. Why would he not do that? There would not be anything written in the book that would tell us the course of events that we can maybe anticipate or expect in the days ahead of us. Where does it tell us in Scripture anywhere else about the victory of the church? The church is victorious, and the book of Revelation gives us and tells us that the church is victorious. And it also tells us in Revelation about the judgment of sin. Where else does it really give us the idea of how sin will be judged? Or if nothing else, how would we know about the fulfillment of promises and prophecies that are found in the Old Testament? Because so much of what Revelation talks about is spoken about in the Old Testament. And Revelation is that book. It is that book that fulfills all those things we talked about. And the Christian who approaches it as prophecy will be rewarded for their labors. So studying the book of Revelation is a labor. Albeit a labor of love, it's still a labor. and one that we enter into not lightly, but with a full intent of understanding what God has to reveal to us. We are going to stop there today, because when we come back together, we're going to jump right into the first chapter of the book of Revelation. It's kind of what you might call a prologue, and it's basically it's composed of the first three verses of chapter one. So if you want to look at that before you go to the next audio session, that might help you to understand a little bit about what we'll talk about next time. Thank you for your time, and let's close in prayer. Father God, you have set before us the instrument of your will through your word, how you will express yourself to us, how you will reveal yourself to us. And it goes far beyond anything that we as mortal men can understand. But Lord, thank you that again, you've preserved your word for us. And we pray, Lord, that as we continue in to our study of the book of Revelation, that you will enlighten us as to what you would have us know. We understand that your will be done, whether we understand the book of Revelation or not. So we trust you and we believe, but Lord, open our hearts and minds into what you would express to us here. Thank you for these moments together. We ask, Lord, that those who hear, Lord, will be blessed, and that next time we come together, that we'll be prepared to hear what you have to say to us at that point in time. We thank you and we praise you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.